The Lord Jesus will speak to you from heaven of his will for your lives as you advance his kingdom of heaven on this earth, beginning with yourselves. And we'll be looking at Psalm 103 that you just sang. Verses 20 and 21 are our scriptures for the text this evening. And we'll also be looking, and we'll be looking first at the Westminster Larger Catechism question and answer 192. We're now going to look at the third petition to the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Psalm 103, verses 20 to 21, and the Westminster Larger Catechism question and answer 192. It's been a few weeks. Let me review what we've learned as it relates specifically to the Lord's Prayer. First, we studied the preface to the Lord's Prayer. That taught us that we have a Father who is in heaven. We appeal to God's heavenly fatherhood. We remember we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven and not of this world. Then we learned in the first petition that we want to honor this Father. We want to hallow his name and show him respect. In the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, we learned that when we pray it, we acknowledge his rule over us. And now in the third petition tonight, which we see in Matthew 6, the second part of verse 10, also in Luke 11, the last part of verse 2, we learn that we not only acknowledge his rule over us with the second petition, but in the third petition, we submit to his rule over us. We submit to his rule over us. Let's turn to the Larger Catechism, question and answer 192. Question 192 of the Westminster Larger Catechism. What do we pray for in the third petition? In the third petition, which is, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, acknowledging that by nature we and all men are not only utterly unable and unwilling to know and do the will of God, but prone to rebel against his word, to repine and murmur against his providence, and wholly inclined to do the will of the flesh and of the devil. We pray that God would by his Spirit take away from ourselves and others all blindness, weakness, indisposedness, and perverseness of heart, and by his grace make us able and willing to know, do, and submit to his will in all things, with the like humility, cheerfulness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, sincerity, and constancy, as the angels do in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As the angels do in heaven is how it closes, just as the shorter catechism closes, that we would act like the angels in heaven. And so we catch a glimpse of how they act so that we would act like them in Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21. Hear now the very word of God. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. What we see here being said is that the angels in heaven are called on to do what they were created to do and what they always do. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord how? By hearing his word and carrying it out. The angels do that perfectly, and we would ask the Lord would help us to be more like them, to model that. What do the angels do? How would we fulfill this prayer request? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's to see the heavenly beings who have not fallen, the angels still doing God's will. They hear what he says, they hear what he commands, and they carry it out quickly, completely, and happily. There's a few ideas of the will of God. We're going to emphasize what I think the Catechism is mainly emphasizing here. We do want to recognize we're praying with a bit of being mindful of God's, what is referred to as God's decretive will. That is, what he decrees from all eternity. God will make his will happen. It is happening exactly as it happens. And in that sense, we just we just kind of recognize that. We have that in view and we're thankful for that. That's our sense of security. Our sovereign God will do exactly as He wills from all eternity to do. And yet we have that in view in part when we pray, "Thy will be done." We know it's happening in a sense. It's more like we're observing it and saying, "Yes, Lord, Thy will be done." We know it will be, and it is. I can't help but throw in here what kind of I find fun, at least. Tom, maybe he doesn't mean it so fun, but Thomas Watson says this, thinking of his decretive will, "I wonder free willers pray this petition. Thy will be done." How could free willers pray, "Thy will be done"? That's a good thought. We'll move on. But we certainly recognize in part, behind everything, God's decretive will is happening, and we more or less just recognize and praise Him for it. You also pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," that you would submit to God's secret will. That is, that you would have passive submission to God's providence. Sometimes difficult providence, sometimes afflictions. Often we just don't know what He's doing. And so we submit and say, "Thy will be done, not my will, Thy will be done. I submit to what You're doing here. I recognize I can't stop it. I can't change it. And I may complain to You," so says Thomas Watson, "but I will not complain of You. I will recognize You have the right to rule and do this to me. And I submit to it. I bear under it." So that's in view as well, and a little bit more explicitly in the Catechism. But particularly, what I think is the emphasis and what we want to focus on is that you pray especially that you would obey God's express will. That is, that you would actively obey God's commandments in His Word. Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You err because you do not know the Word. You do not know the will of God." We need to know God's Word, that we would do God's Word. God's Word is written down and commanded to us, and He expects us to do it. And so we particularly pray, "Help me to do what You say." Are you thinking of that usually when you pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Or are you thinking kind of broad, general, "Yeah, whatever You want, let it happen, Lord, decretive will"? Well, mainly what you should be thinking is, "Make me obey You. I submit to Your rule. Not only are You my King, I will serve You, my King. Help me, O God, to do what You command." A few other thoughts from Thomas Watson. He says, "This is the sum of all religion." You ready to give an answer? Everybody asks, what's religion all about? This, according to the Scriptures, this is the sum of all religion. The doing of God's will. That's not what you and I think about. That's what religion is. That's what true religion is. That's what Christianity is. The doing of God's will. He saves us to do His will. He also writes this: "We must make the angels our patterns and not our neighbors. Not to do God's will is foolish," he writes. "Not to do God's will is foolish, because if we do it not, we do the devil's will." Well, beloved, instead of acting like the demons, pray you act like the angels. That's the message for you this evening. What is it to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Primarily, it is you asking God to help you act like the angels. First, as you pray this, you must, or you are admitting, really, you admit your inability to obey God like the angels. And so you ask for help. You're asking God to help you do something that doesn't come naturally. So the Catechism says, when we pray this, we are acknowledging that by nature, we and all men are not only utterly unable and unwilling to know and do the will of God, but prone to rebel against His Word. First of all, if we don't know the Word, we don't know what He wants specifically without His Word. And then if we do know it, we don't want to do it. We fight against it. This is our fallen nature. Why are we in a fallen nature? Because that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. And once they did it, they couldn't go back. And we can't, lest Christ brings us there. This is the old man that Paul tells us to keep putting off. And without being a new man in Christ, it's all we are, this old fallen man that has no knowledge of and no interest in knowing and no will of doing if he did know the will of God. Romans 8 verse 7 is among the scriptures given to us. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is really referring to the unbeliever, the fallen man not redeemed and converted in Christ. He's got a carnal mind. He can't think spiritually. He is an enemy of God. That's the way he is and lives. He does not want to obey God's law. He does not want to submit to it. And he's not capable of submitting. His very nature says, "My will, not yours, be done. My will." It's still in us, even as redeemed. This is why we look forward to heaven fully coming, when we won't struggle, we won't need to pray this, we'll just do it like the angels fully. You see, we still have this old man in us. We have to mortify, we have to beat down and subdue and control. Romans 7 verse 18, Paul's struggling with this. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Here he's speaking as a believer. Some would say he's speaking as an unbeliever. No, that's not correct. He's speaking as a believer. He's dealing with the issue of wrestling in this world, trying to be more sanctified as a saved person, eager for heaven. He calls out, "Who will rescue me?" And we know the answer is Jesus Christ. See, we need to recognize that nature in us and ask Christ to rescue us from ourselves. From ourselves. And Christ will rescue the repentant who request his assistance. If a boy cries out for his father to lift him up over a fence so that he can see what they're talking about over on the other side, the father does. He lifts him up. He helps him look over, and he looks over, and then the father naturally will explain what the boy's eyes behold. He'll help him see it, and then he'll help him understand it. And so we need to ask God to help us do that, recognizing we can't see. We need him to lift us up, and then we need him to help us even know what we're looking at and how to interpret and understand it. And so the larger catechism, recognizing our inability, then says, "Thus we pray that God would by his Spirit take away from ourselves and others all blindness, weakness, indisposedness, and perverseness of heart." And he will. Jeremiah 31, verses 18 to 19 is given to us, and I quote in part, "Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that, I was instructed. O Lord, turn me that I'd be turned, that I would repent, that I'd be instructed. I won't if you don't. But I'm asking you, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And he will answer that prayer. Jesus tells us to be praying like this, to be aware of our need for his intervention. Matthew 26, verse 41. "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." This is what Paul's lamenting in Romans 7. Jesus says, "Watch and pray so you don't go into temptation. Your spirit wants to do what's right, but your flesh will lead you elsewhere." And you have to ask God to help you. You have to recognize if you don't ask for help, you are going to fall. You ask for his help and he will lift you up. The problem is not just that we have an inability to do these things, to know and do these things. We, even as Christians, in our old man and our flesh that we wrestle against, even as Christians, our problem is that we are just uninterested. We're just generally uninterested in spiritual things. We're just generally uninterested in God's will in our lives. We don't think about his will. We think about our will. And we're really often praying in disguised ways, "Lord, do this for me. do what I want. We're not really praying from the perspective of His will, to do what He wants. And so we need Him to give us an interest in what He wants that we'd even ask. Admit your lack of inclination to obey God like the angels, and ask for help. The Catechism tells us that we are also in this prayer acknowledging that by nature we and all men are prone to repine and murmur against His providence, and wholly inclined to do the will of the flesh and of the devil. That's what we're inclined to do. That's our natural disposition, to do what the devil says to do. Adam and Eve in the fall, before they even had this disposition, they did what the devil told them to do instead of what God said to do. Now how much worse for us, because we have their sinful disposition to only do that. To repine and murmur, complain against Him. All through the Old Testament we saw it in Exodus, we'll see it in Numbers, we'll see murmuring. And the warning in 1 Corinthians 10, the warning in Hebrews 3 and 4 is not to murmur, not to complain. It is a sign of unbelief. And it is a sign we are not going to get into the eternal rest of heaven if we find ourselves mainly complaining and contradicting God at every turn. Ephesians 2 verse 2 is given to us, I quote in part, "In time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's the devil, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Did you notice that? Who are the people who serve the devil? Children of disobedience. Well, they're obeying the devil, so who are they disobeying? God. It's one or the other. You're only doing one or the other all the time. Those are the only two options in your life: to obey the devil or to obey God. And if you disobey God as a child of disobedience, you are obeying the devil, who you make your master. And who, as we know in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, has you captive at his will. And he still tempts you. He still tempts you to murmur against Christ. Thomas Watson says this, I try not to bring everything in, but he has a really good way of saying things. He says, you know, murmuring and discontentment is the water that the devil fishes in to hook you. He said it better than that, but that's pretty helpful, isn't it? That place of discontentment and murmuring, that's where the devil's fishing all day long, and he hooks you real easy that way. 1 Corinthians 10 verses 9 and 10 thus say, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Murmuring is complaining. Murmuring is, I don't want to do that. And murmuring is, well, if I do it, I don't have to like it. Well, I may have to be here, but I don't have to act like I like to be here. I'll be here, but I don't have to talk to anybody. Parents are happy. Parents are pleased when their children do what they ask. But especially if they do what they ask willingly. And when they do what they ask thankfully. There really is hardly a greater pleasure to a parent than when their child is happy to do what they ask and do it as best they can. Don't just seek to appease God, but to please Him. That is a significant distinction. You don't just try to do what God says so He leaves you alone. You want to do what He says to glorify Him. And so we pray, the Catechism teaches, that God would by His grace make us able and willing to know, do, and submit to His will in all things. And here's the part we focus on right now. With the like humility, cheerfulness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, sincerity. It also mentions constancy, but we're going to go back to that later. That is, we ask God that we would not only do the right actions, but that it wouldn't be in vain, that it wouldn't be empty, that we would not only do the right actions, but we'd do them with the right attitude. Psalm 119, verse 35. May this be your prayer. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Remember, God accuses Israel elsewhere. You go through the motions, you do what I say to do, you do the Sabbath, but you do it with half of a heart, you don't offer me what you even offer your governors. Am I supposed to accept that? And then elsewhere in Isaiah, but if you delight in my Sabbath, if you delight in these things, you'll delight in me, and I'll bless you. You see, God cares about not only what we do, but how we do it. Whether we mean it. And we can't fool him. This is what Jesus does. This is what highlighted about Jesus. Jesus says, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Where is that? Psalm 40, verse 8. How do we know particularly it's about Jesus? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7 and 9. He says, I delight to do thy will. Your law is within my heart. Are you a Christian? You'll act like Jesus. You will delight to do God's commandments. Again, Psalm 119, verse 35. But keep in mind the context of Psalm 40, verse 8, quoted in Hebrews 10. What specifically there is Jesus delighting to do the will of the Father? I know you've heard it before recently. It bears repeating. What specifically was he saying, I delight to do thy will? I'm going to die on the cross. A body thou hast prepared me, or mine ear thou hast borne in the Old Testament. I'll be a slave for eternity. I will take on a human body and soul forever, and that humiliation, and I will die on the cross, and I will delight to do it. We see his humanity where he has to pray, thy will be done, to the divine will. But here, prophesied of Christ, I delight to do thy will, and it is to die for you. And you see, what is Christ calling all disciples to do for him in response? Die to you. Deny your will. So you can't even submit to God's will or obey it if you haven't denied your own. It's got to get out of the way. Psalm 143, verse 10, may it be your prayer. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Remember, God is infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably good and wise. So when you ask him to help you to know and do his will, you can trust it's the best thing for you. The angels happily engage in God's directions. As well, the angels obey God every time, on time, all the time. And we're asking God to help us be more like that in the prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is to be more like the angels, to do his will, to obey what he commands every time, on time, all the time. So the Catechism teaches that we pray that God would by his Spirit and by his grace make us able and willing to know, do, and submit to his will in all things with constancy, as the angels do in heaven. You see, they're constant about it. They never falter. They're never late. They never delay. They never have to say, ask me again later, I'm busy. They exist to be beckoning at God's every word and do it as soon as he says. Constancy, as the angels do in heaven. This is what we're asking God would make us more like. If we are asking for it to be more heaven and earth, it's that we'd act like those who are in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 112, needs to be our heart's prayer. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. Constancy. Like the angels, I want to be reliable, Lord, for you. I want to be the first person you're going to go to give a duty, because you know I'll get it done. You know I'm loyal and faithful and obedient, and I will not get distracted along the way with my will. That's what we're asking for. So we pray, you pray for your submission to His will. I think the literal order here in the Greek is helpful again. Matthew 6, verse 10, it's really more literally in this order, something like this. Let it be the will yours. And I think it stands out, at least to me it does, because of the first two petitions before, remember. Let it be holy the name yours, is more literally the wooden order of the words. Let the kingdom come yours. And now tonight, let it be the will yours. I think there's an emphasis there, or at least I think we ought to make that emphasis. Not my will. Yours be done. That's what Jesus prayed. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. Matthew 26, verse 39. Is that prayer good for him? But are you too good to pray that prayer? Not as I will, but as thou wilt. I remind you, that was the prayer. As he struggled, he agonized over going to the cross in his humanity. John 6, verse 38, Jesus says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." This is how you recognize the Son of God. He came not to do his own will, but the will of his heavenly Father who sent him down to earth. This is also how you will be recognizably God's family, sons and daughters of God as well. Jesus says, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." It's pretty simple. People don't like to be questioned whether they're Christians based on their behavior, but Jesus says, "I'll show you who my family is. People who do what I say to do. All of it. And don't question me. And are happy to do it. That's my mother. That's my brethren. Those who hear what I say and obey." That's exactly what is said of the angels tonight in Psalm 103, 20 and 21. They hear God's word and they do it. Done. That's what it is to be a citizen of heaven. Luke 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Notice that next week we're going to be getting into earthly petitions, petitions for needs on earth. But notice so far we've been focusing only on the kingdom of heaven. We're to first seek the kingdom of heaven before we start asking about earthly things. We're to seek more of God's kingdom of heaven in our lives in this earth as His citizens of that kingdom, advancing it, before we ever think to ask about any of our daily temporal earthly needs. So the literal order of Matthew 6, verse 10 on that part as well is helpful. Literally, it is, "As in heaven, so on earth." Let it be the will yours, as in heaven, so on earth. Or you could pray it, "As with the angels, so with me." And we go back to our text tonight, Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21. Let's look again at what the angels are doing. "Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure." Both verses combined, what's the emphasis? What's the repetition? The angels are doing something. It's not they might do it. They are doing it. They're called upon to bless God's name, but they're really just called upon to do what they're doing. Just to keep doing it. Understood that of course they will. That's what they were created to do. That's what they are doing. That's all they can do. And they're glad to do it. What are they doing? God's word that they have heard. What are they doing? God's favor, or it could literally be translated desire or will. This is what it is to be heavenly beings. Do you want to go to heaven? Let me tell you what you'll be doing in heaven if you get there by God's grace through Jesus Christ. But let me tell you what you will find yourself doing in heaven. Doing God's will exactly all the time. Never anything else. If that doesn't sound good to you, then recognize you're not on your way there. If that's not what your prayer, your heart's cry is about, then recognize you're not there. You're not going there. Citizens of the kingdom of heaven, family of Jesus Christ, want to do His will. More like those in heaven, that's all they do. They want to be like Jesus, who only does the will of His Father. That's all He does. We recognize we can't do it perfectly. This is why we are thankful that Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. But that doesn't remove our responsibility, and it should only increase our desire to do God's heavenly will in our lives on this earth. That more of heaven would be seen in us, seen in the church in this dark world. That we would really be the light of Christ to this dark world. This is the heart cry of the citizens of heaven, to be like the angels. Verse 20, what are the angels? Literally, the word is messengers. Angels are messengers. That's what they do, and that's what the word is. They're messengers. Beloved, so are you. You have a message to share, and you spread that gospel message how? Just like the angels, by living out God's commands. You are a witness. Jesus says, let them see your good works and glorify your Father where? In heaven. You're supposed to look like aliens to this world. You're supposed to look like you just got dropped down out of heaven yourself. So they ask, where are you from? And you say, I'm from heaven. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. What you're recognizing about me that has you perplexed is I am from the kingdom of heaven. And I've got a gospel message for you. You want to go there too? Let me tell you about Jesus, King Jesus. Verse 21, they are also called ministers. Literally, the word is servants. Beloved, you too serve at the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't serve yourselves. This is why in the New Testament, Paul will refer to himself as a doulos, a servant. Possibly more technically, slave of Christ. I don't have my own will to serve. I serve at the pleasure of the King Jesus Christ. You are servants if you are Christians. You are servants, not of yourselves, but of the Lord. You exist to do His bidding and never your own. You never say, but that's what I want to do. I don't really worry about what the Word says. Or logical applications of it. That's what I want to do. Everyone else is doing it. But that's not how a citizen of the kingdom talks. I have no will. I exist for God's will. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 21, the angels are also called hosts. This Hebrew word literally is army. The angels are the army of the Lord. And are you not remembering, I trust, how very often we see the phrase, one of the phrases for God, I guess you would call it a title, not a name. He is the Lord of hosts. And Jesus Christ in the Old Testament is the angel of the Lord. You are also God's army. You are the church militant. You're fighting a war. You're advancing a heavenly kingdom against a world that does not want you here. Does not want God's will to be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Wants you to go right back up there and happily to send you there sooner than you might be planning. But you are fighting. And any efficient military carries out their marching orders without complaint, without questioning, and without hesitation. So, Christian soldiers, you have your orders. Carry them out like the angels. Let it be that's just what is said about you. That's just what you do. That's what you were created and redeemed to do, and that's what you're always found doing. So that when such a thing is said to you, you can say, of course, that's what I do. Will you have in mind James 1 verse 22 and pray that you will be doers of the word and not only hearers of it, deceiving yourselves? Lord, I know what your word says. Help me to do it. Because our will, you've got to remember, is in direct opposition to what God wants us to do. Our old sinful nature never wants to do what God wants us to do. We ask Him to help us do what He wants us to do. Pray for heaven-like obedience. Pray that you act like those who have always been there in heaven. I'm thinking of something Elder Huffmaster said a little while ago. I think it's really helpful. He said, I wills become I do's. If we're not willing, we're not doing. When we say, I will, when we commit, when we covenant, I will, God helping me, then they become I do's. Beloved, in this petition, the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, you must ask God's will to become what you do. If you won't pray it, you won't do it. How often are you asking, God, help me to do what you say? Sometimes here's what it's like, Lord. Here's what's on my mind. Here's what I want to do right now. And I know it violates your word. Stop me, please. Help me to do that instead. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. If you won't pray it, you won't do it. Pray it that you would do it. You won't do it with heavenly angelic constancy, that's for sure. Thomas Watson writes this, many do God's will by halves. They pick and choose in religion. In some they comply with God's will, but not in others, like a lame horse, which sets some of its feet on the ground, but favors one. Let us not act like a lame horse. Rather, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven in me. That is, pray you act like the angels. Let's pray. O Lord God, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Help us to rejoice in the fact that your will be done. Help us to submit to what you will to have done to us that we would not choose for ourselves. And most importantly, help us to obey what you command like heavenly beings that we will one day be. We pray that we would act like the angels as we follow the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.